Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your warm welcome. I was told when I came on Thursday that I brought the cold weather back for you. So I trust that when I leave this coming week, the good weather will return again. Thank you for this opportunity to minister to you on this day, Father's Day. And of course, I wish every one of you who is a father, or every one of you who has a father, a happy Father's Day, and I trust that you will remember to give your father a call to wish him as well. This morning, for our purpose here, I call your attention to Psalm 103, Psalm 103, Psalm 103. And here, brothers and sisters, you find that the psalm begins with the call to you to bless the Lord. Look at what you are told there in verse 1 to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Brothers and sisters, you will find the same call to you to bless the Lord there at the end of the psalm. Look there in verse 20. You find there the call to the angels. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And if you go to verse 21, you find a call to the angelic warriors or angelic soldiers. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Then when you go down further to verse 22, you'll find there in the first part a call to the whole creation to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And finally, the psalmist comes to the end of the psalm by a call to himself, saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, brothers and sisters, there is often a confusion here, because it's very often, brothers and sisters, that you wish somebody, God bless you. But what you mean by God bless you is that God help you, God strengthen you, or God make you better than you were before. That God make you better off than you were before. That is not what the psalmist is calling you to do here when the psalmist says, bless the Lord. To bless the Lord means to praise the Lord. It means to salute the Lord with the highest honor. It means, brothers and sisters, actually to kneel as an act of adoration, as you recall to your mind the loveliness of God to you and all the benefits that you have received from Him. In other words, brothers and sisters, to bless the Lord means an expression of gratitude, deep thanksgiving from your hearts as you contemplate on what the Lord is in all His goodness towards His people. It is a call, brothers and sisters, to you to give God the due worship that is due to Him. You are called to bless the Lord there in verse 2. And look at the closing words of verse 2. It says, and forget not all His benefits to you. And the psalmist goes on in verse 3 to verse 5 to give you the example of 6 benefits that you have received as Christians from the hands of God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Brothers and sisters, these are very rich spiritual blessings and benefits that you have received from God. And all this, just this look at this sample of 6 benefits, brothers and sisters, will show you that God is good. And that is why from verse 6 to verse 10, you find the psalmist saying, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always strive with us, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, brothers and sisters, it is a mouthful for us to read, but actually, brothers and sisters, these verses are meant to call you to reflect on the fact that God, the true God, the God we have come and gathered here this morning to worship, He's such a lovely, wonderful being, the goodness of God. Lest you cannot understand all these things, you find the psalmist giving you by employing three earthly pictures to help you understand there in verses 11 to 14. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgression from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are thus. Beloved brothers and sisters, look at the word as. And then go on to look at the other part of the sentence that will go with the word so great, so far, so naturally. The Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Beloved brothers and sisters, when we look around us in this world, there are so many pictures reminding us, my beloved brothers and sisters, that God is so wonderful and so good, and that we ought together to praise Him, to bless His holy name. The psalmist goes on, and there he finds it necessary to compare the vast greatness of God with your human frailty. There in verse 15 to verse 19. Look at ourselves as men, he says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. It is vast. It cannot be compared with your frailty, brothers and sisters. God is so, so good and so worthy of your worship and your praise. In the midst of this call to bless the Lord, beloved brothers and sisters, you find there our sermon text in verse 13. And you realize there that it is actually an earthly picture that is relevant for our purpose here this morning as you celebrate Father's Day in Australia. Look at what you learned there in verse 13 about your God. He says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Beloved brothers and sisters, look carefully here. You find the great God of heaven and earth comparing Himself with an earthly father. All of you, brothers and sisters, all of you sitting here, all of you, you have an earthly father. The question is, what kind of father do you have? As I look at you, brothers and sisters, some of you are fathers, but what sort of father are you? If I were to ask your wife, and if I were to go out and ask your children about you as a father, what would they say about you as a father to them? Are you a godly father? Would they tell me that he is my father? My father is like God, my heavenly father. What sort of father are you as you celebrate Father's Day and receive the blessings and the congratulations and the good words from your own family members? You see, brothers and sisters, some people do not like this picture of a father to be used to describe God. They were hurt by their earthly fathers before. I know a sister who finds it very, very hard to know God as her heavenly father. The picture of a father only brings back horrible, horrible memories of her wicked father who regularly beat up her mother and forcefully would, would, would take away her money to go gambling and to womanize with the money from his own wife. So to this sister, the picture of her father is a picture of a very deeply undesirable person in her life. I need to ask you, will that happen to your children, I wonder? Will they have a misunderstood and a misguided idea about who God is because of your poor presentation and representation of who God is? Look at what our God is. Our God is a good father, just as like a father, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God is a good father. That is why, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he taught us to pray, he taught us to address God as our Father which art in heaven. He used the picture of a father. And then later on in the same chapter in Matthew 6 and verse 32, referring to God, he referred to God as your heavenly Father. Beloved brothers and sisters, God is a good father, and that is the same teaching you'll find in the Old Testament. For example, in Jeremiah 31 and verse 9, we read, "For I am a father to Israel." That's how God described his relationship with his ancient people. And then in Isaiah 64 and verse 8, we read this verse. He says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father." Oh, brothers and sisters, God is a good Father. And if God is a good Father, then, brothers and sisters, it is a great sin if you misrepresent God to your children. It would be a great sin for anyone to give a wrong picture of what a father is to anyone else in this world, because that will be misrepresenting God to that person. And so I warn you that you must remember as a Christian that God is a good father, and you who are called to be fathers on earth ought to correctly represent God. I completely identify with Pastor Key in his prayer that we are all frail, that we are all weak, that we are all full of faults as men and as brothers and as husbands and as fathers. We need the grace of God. Nonetheless, when we look at God, we ought to be filled with the goodness of God, that we ought to be able to manifest his love to our own children as well. Let me tell you a secret. It is very hard for a godly father to say no to his children. If he has to say no to his children, it is definitely a no out of deep love for his own children. It is just natural for a father to love his children. In fact, it is very unnatural. And you find some of these people in the world today, very unnatural for a man not to love his own children and not to love his own wives. You are called to bless the Lord, brothers and sisters. You are called to look at God here as God compares himself with an earthly father. What is a father's love? It is easier for us, brothers and sisters, to find how the Lord Jesus Christ illustrates for us a father's love. Can you please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And there in Luke 11, verses 11 to 13, you find our Lord Jesus Christ talking about a father's love. He says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. I call you to consider this, brothers and sisters, on this Father's Day, that God is how much more better than the best earthly father you can find in this world. And do you believe that God is such a great Father? Do you trust in His love for His children? The Lord Jesus Christ, He dared to say this. He dared to give this illustration. He dared to ask you how much more. Because it is true. God never lies. He is really a good Father and the best Father. And He is a great lover of His children. He demonstrated His great love, sacrificial love for His children, with the giving of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whenever you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death and suffering and how He was put to death on a cross at Calvary, beloved brothers and sisters, never forget that it is because of you that Jesus Christ came into this world. Jesus Christ is the demonstration of God's love, for God so loved the world. And Paul tells us in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ did not die when you become a better person. Jesus did not die in order to give you the opportunity to become better. No, while you were rebellious, while you were a sinner, the love of God that was demonstrated when the Son of God was sent into this world to save a group of very unworthy people called the church. In 1 John 4 and verse 10, you are told, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved brothers and sisters, think about this. The great love that God has for His people. What could He give more than His only begotten Son, brothers and sisters? What could a person give more than His own only child in order to save someone else? God's love can never be understood on this side of heaven. We could only marvel and be amazed that God should love us and call us out of darkness. That is why, brothers and sisters, that is why the Apostle Paul asked a very interesting question in Romans 8 and verse 32. He asked this interesting question. He said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Sometimes we wonder, sometimes we doubt God, despite the fact that God has given us the best of His gifts, the Son that He loved, He sent to be our Savior, and the sacrifice for our sins. And yet we doubt Him for a plate of rice. We doubt Him for a need that we have in this world. How ungrateful, isn't it? How ungrateful. Oh, brothers and sisters, love the Lord for His greatness. Bless the Lord. Praise Him. Acknowledge His goodness. The Lord will not abandon you as orphans. Paul called you to look at Romans 8 and verse 35. He says again with questions and questions. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And then He Himself, having asked all these questions and possibilities, He Himself provided the answer in verses 38 to 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, are you not moved? Are you not moved with this? that not only has God loved you, He loved you to the very end. He will ensure that you will know His love, you will never doubt His love, that you will always live in His love, and that you will always know His love. What a great God and great Father. God is indeed a good Father, a very good Father, the best Father in the world. And the question I need to pose to you is, are you His children? Do you belong to Him, my brothers and sisters? Do you know this God who is so tender and kind and generous toward His people? Have you come to receive and say, Lord, I want to be owned by You. How grateful You have sent a Savior. Well, I was blind and ignorant of my great need for a Savior. You have already sent Him. And how out of His pure love and compassion for us, how He has gone to the cross as a Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Bless the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Thank God for Jesus. You know, I've always been asked by people who are not familiar with Christianity, whenever they found out that I'm a pastor, they would often ask me, Pastor, why you all Christians like to talk about Jesus, sing about Jesus, write about Jesus, and everything Jesus? Huh? And my reply to them is, because it's Jesus. If there is a name, you should scribble on the wall. If there is a name, you should scribble on every letter. If there is a name, brothers and sisters, it's Jesus. If not for Him, you won't be sitting here, would you? It's because of Him that you are here in a family of love. In a family who has understood that God is your heavenly Father. The second thing we learn from this verse, our sermon text this morning, is that God is not just a good Father. God is a Father who pities His children, as we are told there in Psalm 103 and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. We are told here that He pities His children. The word there, pities, it means to show fatherly affection or fatherly feeling. A natural feeling that a godly father ought to have for his own offsprings. The father, the love of a father, the compassion that he will demonstrate to his children. You know, this is very hard. It is very hard for me to utilize, to employ English words to describe to you what it means. But a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so I call you to that picture given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There in the Gospel of Luke again, in Luke chapter 15, and look there in the parable of the prodigal son, the love of his father. Luke 15, reading for you from verse 20 to verse 24. We read there in verse 20, Luke 15, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Brothers and sisters, can you see the love of a father being described for us here by our Lord Jesus Christ? He did everything for this unworthy son. The love of a father. But this parable is not about somebody else. This parable is about you. It's a reminder to you that you are such a person like this prodigal son. That you have often drifted away from the Lord. You have often doubted His love. You have often questioned Him. You have often fallen into sin. You have often turned a deaf ear to the words of your Father in heaven. Oh, beloved brothers and sisters, come back to God, your Heavenly Father. For God is stretching His hands out and calling you, His people, to repent and to return to His embrace, that He cares for you. He does care for you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself who told us this parable. He wasn't praising anybody else. He was asking you to look carefully, to think about it very deeply, of the love of your Heavenly Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, have you heard this? Will you repent? And will you come back to the Lord? And will you know His love and experience the fullness of His goodness toward you? You know, it is wonderful. It is wonderful to know Christ. We are told there that for God hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There is forgiveness. God has sent His Son into this world to be our rescuer, our Savior. And He has come. He has come to look at us, and He saw all of us in the midst of sin, in darkness and in misery. And the Son of God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. There is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ found in the Gospel of Matthew that all of us ought to read it and be moved by what it says to us about our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is Matthew 9. And verse 36. Matthew 9 and verse 36, we read there about our Lord. It says, but when He, our Lord Jesus, saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. The Greek word there, moved, means stirred in His internal organs and internal being so much that he had to be moved with compassion for what He saw. It stirred Him. And that was the origin of His willingness to come into this world in obedience to His Father. He saw the state we are in, brothers and sisters. He saw you where you are in your struggle with sin. You wanted to repent, and yet you find that you repent for one day or an hour, and then you fell into the same sin again. He saw the great power sin has hold on you. And He saw that only He Himself has a power to release you from the bondage to your sin. Come, brothers and sisters, are you bondage to any secret sins? Is the internet a curse to you rather than a blessing? Is your relationship in a mess? Have you done things that will be shameful in the sight of God? Come, brothers and sisters, know the goodness of your Heavenly Father. He pities His children, for He knows what they are made of. Look at what we are told there in verse 14. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows us. God knows our weaknesses and our faults. God knows us so very well. That is why, brothers and sisters, we are told there in Psalm 103, look at what we are told there in verse 8 to verse 10 once again about God, our Heavenly Father. He said, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide or strive with us, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't it true? The wages of sin is death. The day you eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, you shall surely die. Did Adam die immediately? Spiritually, yes. But he lived on and saw the promise given to him that God will soon send the seed of the woman. Beloved brothers and sisters, you are alive despite the fact that you are a great sinner. You have offended Him who is your Creator and your Lord. You have very, very frequently disobeyed Him. Oh, you disobeyed Him. Back home, I have heard stories upon stories of people how they presented themselves in church on a Sunday morning in their best attire. But from Monday to Saturday, oh, when you hear it from the wives and from the husbands and from the parents, you just do not know how to place them. They are so good on a Sunday morning. And it's good that they are good. But what about the other days of the week? When they cheat, they lie, they sleep around. When they say things that they ought not to say. Oh, brothers and sisters, I trust that this morning, when you think about God our Father, such a wonderful God and our Father, that you will repent of your sin. You realize the Bible tells us, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You realize that he's talking about showing fatherly affection. And a lot of people think that to love our children means we don't cane them. To love our children means that we never, never discipline them. The world tells us, love your children, but never discipline them. The world tells us that discipline is the opposite of love. And yet the Bible tells us that God will never turn a blind eye when his people sin against him. The Bible tells us that it is because of his fatherly love and compassion that he will chastise his people when they sin. And the reason why it is so is actually provided us in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. If you please turn your Bibles there as I read for you. To Hebrews 12, concerning the chastisement of the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 5 to verse 9, we read in the Holy Bible, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" There is chastisement. Some people think that the Christian gospel promises you that if you sin and sin and sin, and then you confess and confess and confess, and you are perfectly all right. They forget that the Lord will chastise you. David was loved by the Lord. When he committed the two horrible sins of adultery and murder, the sword did not leave his family. You saw the consequences of his sins. His sin was forgiven by the Lord. Nathan the prophet said, "Your sins are forgiven you, but the child will die." Beloved brothers and sisters, take very careful note that God is a good father who punishes his children. Bless the Lord that he cares enough to discipline his children when they are wrong. What kind of father are you? If it is all about love, love, love and no discipline, what kind of father are you? I have been told, when I mentioned about this matter some time ago in another church somewhere, and some parents came to me and actually told me, "Pastor, you are outdated." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Pastor, do you know that the Bible is outdated?" You say that to a pastor, the pastor is shocked, you know. "You mean the Bible is outdated?" He said, "Yeah, because pastor, caning will create mental scars, you know. The child will grow up with a mental scar. And then, you know, psychologically, will be unbalanced." So I said, "I'm sorry for saying that from the pulpit, because I'm a person who is mentally unstable, because my father did not just cane me. He loved me so much, and I was such a naughty boy. He would chase after me with a bamboo pole that we used back home for drying our clothes. And people would always come out of their houses and look, Willie, look at Willie, he's been caned by the father." And then they see Willie running, And shortly behind him, we see the father with a bamboo pole running after him. Ah! I'm standing here before you this morning because my father cared enough to cane me. If he had not caned me, I would have been dead by the time I reached 16, 17 years old. God our Father is a good Father, and He pities His children. He pities you so much that He will and He must punish you. That is why you are commanded and instructed by the Lord to do the same for your children. If you please turn back to two passages in the book of Proverbs. Firstly, to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. We read there in Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him. Look at it here. He's so angry with him. Okay, if you are angry with your children, please don't cane. After you're no longer angry, then you cane. Okay? Because my wife would always, you know, when her children were young, I tell you a little secret, okay? She's going to get angry with me later on, but never mind, Pastor Key is around to protect me. Yeah, so let me tell you a secret. My wife would take a cane and say, you know, you are naughty, you better behave. And she'll cane the table, cane the chair, cane the floor, cane the carpet, cane the wall, and cane everything else except the children. And then I'll go to her and say, Mama, what are you doing? Why are you cane this? The chair has not been naughty. The table has not been naughty. The people who are naughty are not being caned. And she'll say, never mind. I say, I mind. You know why? Because if you use a cane, and those of you who have used cane before, when you hit all these hard objects, the cane will give way. And then I will have to go and buy a new one. And then I'll tell my wife, I cannot go and buy a new one so regularly. Do you know, every time I go to the shop, the uncle will ask me, yes, how can I help you? Uncle, do you have any more cane? And the uncle will look at me like, well, you are really an abuser. My wife gets me in trouble. So here we learn. It is not out of anger. God does not discipline you because God hates you. God did not discipline you because God don't like you. God stopped you. God called you to repent. It's out of His Father's love for you. That is why, long before you repented, Jesus Christ our Lord has already gone to the cross of Calvary for you. Look at what we are told in the second passage in Proverbs 23. Look at again what it says. Consistently, it is the teaching of the scripture that is out of love. Proverbs 23, look at what we are told there in verse 13 to verse 14. It says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Oh, brothers and sisters, isn't that what the Lord is doing to you? If you will not obey, the Lord will send the rod to discipline you, to chastise you, to call you to repentance. It's not because He hates you. It's because He loves you so much that He will not allow you to continue in your sin, for He sees nothing good in front of you. He will stop that relationship because that relationship is a sinful relationship. He will stop that habit because that habit is destroying your relationship with Him. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, God is a good Father and He cares for His children. He cares for them so much that He will discipline them. Is that what your children will grow up seeing and experiencing? Will they come to you and say, Papa, thank you for showing me who God is in the matter of discipline? Once we brought our little young sons to the shopping mall, and as little children, I don't know about your children, my children was rather naughty when they were young. They would just reach there, and when the door is open, they will start to run. And we say, wait, and no, they will go run in front. And then we decided on that Sunday, I don't know if it was Sunday or any day, my wife and I decided that we are going to discipline them. We're going to teach them a lesson. So both of us, husband and wife, went to hide behind a big pillar. And we were out of sight. And the elder son was, of course, running in front, and the younger boy was behind them. He stopped and then he turned back and he realized, where's Papa Mama? And there you could see a fear developing on his face. And the first thing he did was, very good, grab the titi's hand, the younger brother's hand, and start to look around. But where was the father and mother? Well, the father and mother was angry with them. The father and mother thought that it's a good time to discipline them. But where was the father and mother? The father and mother, let me tell you, was behind that big pillar. Our eyes were never away from them. We will be looking at them, and we will never allow anything harmful to happen to them. Often in life, we thought that God is so far away. Where is God when I needed Him? I cannot find Him. No, brothers and sisters, God is just behind the pillar. He's not distracted by anything. He found it necessary to deal with you. He's not far from you. He will never allow anything bad to happen to you, because He's a good Father. Just as I will never allow anything bad to happen to my young children, God, who has sacrificed His only begotten Son for you, will not allow you to meet with any harm. Have you thought about that, about your Heavenly Father? Is there anything deep down in your hearts now that you're struggling with? You do not know what to say to anyone. You don't know who can help you. May I tell you, come to your Heavenly Father. Surely you can come to Him and pour up whatever is in your heart to Him and say, Father, Father, Father. He knows. He cares. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Will you come, brothers and sisters? Will you receive and know this love of your Father who is in heaven? He knows what you are made of. He knows your human frailty. He knows you are made of dust. He tells us that in verse 14. He's not expecting you to be an angel. You know, once I went to visit a baby in a hospital, a newborn baby, and the mother was so happy to show off the baby to the pastor and say, Pastor, this baby, my baby, she's like an angel. And I say, yeah, very cute, like an angel. And then within a second, she started to poo, and it leaked, and it dropped. And she said, Pastor, she's no longer an angel. I don't know about your children, but I know about you. We all need the love of God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot survive in our righteousness. We have nothing. If God ever receives us, it's not because we are better than others. It's because He's good. He accepts us. Not only does He pity His children, pity those who fear Him. If you would please turn with me to Matthew 6, and I want you to just look at something that will encourage you as you trust in your Heavenly Father. In Matthew 6, verse 7 to verse 8, concerning prayer, we read there, but when ye pray, Matthew 6, verse 7, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, but not ye. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Heavenly Father, listen, knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Before. He knows you. He pities you. He knows what you are made of. Come. Come. Christianity is not about doing something, following a pattern of life. Christianity is about the love of God. Christianity is about knowing God as your Heavenly Father. It's about a relationship. Come, brothers and sisters. Come and know the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to our last point now, and I call your attention back to 103, Psalm 103 and verse 13. We are told there that God is a father to those who fear Him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I want you to take note here, brothers and sisters, in verse 11, verse 13, and verse 17, you find the same description, them that fear Him, them that fear Him, them that fear Him. Brothers and sisters, that's how the children of God are being described in the Bible. Today you are called Christians. A Christian is somebody who fears the Lord. The word they fear is not being afraid. My children, once again, they are going to be so embarrassed at the end of my sermon already. They are often afraid of so many things, afraid of the dark, darkness at night, afraid of sound, afraid of cockroach, afraid of lizards, so many things they are afraid of. That's not about being afraid, it's about honor. The word fear here means reverence. It means filial honor and respect you give to God, who is your heavenly Father. That is why, brothers and sisters, you find the prophet Malachi asking a question about this matter in verse 6 of chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. You find the prophet asking this question. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Beloved brothers and sisters, is God your heavenly Father? There is only one way. There is only one way to show your obedience. It's not say only, yes, yes, God is my heavenly Father, and your life tell a different story. No, brothers and sisters, the Bible here is very specific that God is a father, not to everyone. God is a father to those who fear Him, who reverentially fear Him, who give to Him filial honor and respect. A Christian is not somebody that you can identify with the way he wears his attire, or which Bible he used, or you use the King James, you're alright. If you use another version, you are not a child of God. No, brothers and sisters. It is also not the color of the shirt you are wearing, may I just assure you. It's about this. Do they fear the Lord? You see, the Jews, in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, they claim to be the children of God. And our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ Himself, corrected them. There in John 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 39 to 42, our Lord Jesus corrected them in this way. They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. In other words, showing obedience to God. And then further down it says, if God were your father, ye would love me. There, brothers and sisters, is a summary of who a Christian is. I'm not here to judge you. Please forgive me if I sound so angry, scolding people this morning on a Father's Day. Well, actually, I'm scolding you on behalf of your children because you've been scolding them. But really, brothers and sisters, it is because of this. You say you love the Lord. Do you obey Him? Because Jesus, our Lord, says in John 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The word there, keep, is understood as obedience. Obey my commandments. That's how you show your love to the Lord. You know, once I had an unpleasant time to counsel somebody who was in sin, and the lady was telling me that, oh, I love the Lord. You know, Pastor, I read the Bible very much. I read the Bible, in fact, every day. I pray, Pastor, I pray. And I was thinking, wow, okay, maybe I have a wrong preconceived idea about this lady. Then she goes on to say, oh, Pastor, I cannot help myself. My husband is driving me nuts. I cannot. I must beat him up. She abuses her husband physically. And I told her, I said, but that's not what the Bible says you should be doing. You have to repent. No, Pastor. If I have to repent, I would rather not be a Christian. And I told her, then, sister, I'm sorry, you're not a Christian at all, because you're not obedient to the Lord. So I ask you this morning, do you obey the Lord as obedient children of God? Because you know that your Father in heaven is such a good Father, and He teaches His children. He will discipline you if there is a need to, because He loves you and wants to rescue you from the fire of hell. I call you to a very familiar verse that I'm sure those of you who are parents will regularly read to your children. There in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Firstly, are you not a child of God? So it should be applied to you first, right? Secondly, you should make sure that it is applied correctly to your children, because you want them to have a right picture of God. But I want you to take careful note of this. The command is, obey your parents and not love your parents. Obey and not love. Is there a contradiction? No contradiction. Because obedience is the best evidence that you love your parents. To obey God is the best proof that you are among those who fear the Lord. So I call you, brothers and sisters, to consider this, our sermon text, and drink very deeply here in your Father's love for you. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. All of you have a father on earth. All Christians, you have a father in heaven. My sons would often jump off the stairs, the cupboard, and someplace high, and tumble into my arms when they were young. They were fully convinced and fully confident that I would be able to catch them and protect them from a nasty fall to the ground. Will you jump into the arms of your father whenever you are afraid? Will you jump into the arms of your Heavenly Father whenever you are finding yourself in danger? And very often in life, we find that you have enemies everywhere. And you feel that you don't know where to run to. Come, brothers and sisters. You have a Father who is going to embrace you. Come. Come to the Lord. Know that the Lord will embrace you. Be convinced of His promise, that He will do you good and He will forgive you of your sins. He will reconcile you back to Himself. In fact, He has already prepared the way and accomplished the reconciliation, the propitiation for your sin. He has appointed for you the mediator, Christ Jesus, the man. How Christ Jesus has already bridged the broken relationship, and He calls you, come unto me. Will you come and know the love of God and receive His forgiveness? Will you teach your children the love of God through being a father to them? Will you support every man who is a father? Will you support your own fathers and help them to be a godly father like God? I know, my wife kept telling me that, please, Paul, don't forget this, okay? If not, I'm going to punish you at the end of the sermon. You must remember that there are women in the auditorium, there are women in the church, and there are people who are not married, and there are people who are married but have no children. The sermon must be relevant to them. And I kept assuring her, I said, wife, don't worry, because I'm not talking about men, I'm talking about God. God is our Father. A good Father. Let us pray. Oh God, our gracious Father, we bow in your holy presence this morning. We thank you for your loveliness. How tenderly you have treated us. Generously you have provided for us. Kindly you have received us. In great loving kindness you have maintained a relationship with us. You have not turned a blind eye to our sins, but you have disciplined us, chastised us. You have stopped us from sinning. You have called us to repent. You have promised us the assurance of forgiveness. You have called us to our difficult work as a father, to children, to the future generation. You want us to be the best examples of God to them as our Heavenly Father. Teach us, we pray, for all parents here, for all fathers here on this Father's Day. Bless all fathers with the grace of Jesus Christ. Give them heavenly wisdom to do their work. Give them the love of God to love their own children on earth, that they may in every way remind others of God, our Father. So give us your blessing, Father. We commit ourselves to your loving care and provision, for Christ our Savior's sake. Amen.